This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On Air.
Welcome to Borscht Club on ORFM, where we stir up vibrant stories, rich traditions, and the voices of the Ukrainian community. Grab a seat, it's time to dive into something truly special.
Hello everyone and thank you for joining us. Today I'm going to tell you about the Holodomor. The Holodomor was a man-made famine in Ukraine in 1932-1933, created by the Soviet leadership under Joseph Stalin. It was not caused by drought or crop failure. There was food. The government took it away on purpose. Soviet authorities confiscated all grain, all food and all supplies from Ukrainian villages. Entire regions were blocked by armed units so people could not leave to search for food. Trade was banned, villages were isolated and even picking leftover grain from the fields was punished with prison or execution. Millions of people starved to death inside these sealed regions. In 2006, the Holodomor was officially recognized as an act of genocide against the Ukrainian people. The Day of Remembrance for the victims of the Holodomor in Ukraine is observed every year on the fourth Saturday of November. My great-grandmother, Евдокія Михайлівна, was born in the village of Сухакалигірка, Черкаси region. She married Ларіон. They had a field and a nice big house. Ларіон was killed by lightning on the field, and the great-grandmother was left alone with their children. When the Holodomor began, they already had three children, Василь, Галина and Михайло, my grandfather. They somehow survived 1932, but already began swelling from hunger. My great-grandmother had to exchange her beautiful house for a bag of grain, but it turned out that the grain was mixed with garbage and they could not feed themselves with it. Василь and Галина died. Only my grandfather Михайло survived. They had nothing to eat at all. They waited for spring to eat some grass or leaves. We knew where Василь and Galina are buried, found their grave, and put crosses on it in remembrance. This is the story of my family which survived the Holodomor. Stories of survival during the Holodomor exist in almost every Ukrainian family. The Holodomor was a genocide of the Ukrainian nation carried out in 1932-1933. It was orchestrated by the leadership of the Soviet Union to break Ukrainians, crush their resistance to the regime and destroy their efforts to build an independent Ukrainian state free from Moscow. Not all of these stories are known. For a very long time, the Soviet Union suppressed any mention of the Holodomor, and speaking about it could lead to imprisonment. For many people, it was also unbearable trauma. They preferred not to recall those horrors and never told anyone what they had lived through. But the consequences of the Holodomor are still passed down through generations. My great-grandmother hid dried bread under her pillow. She kept it in bags under the bed and always had to have some next to her day and night. My grandmother always forced me to finish everything on my plate. Whenever she served food, she would say, "Eat, you never know when you will eat next." She always gave large portions because you had to eat well while food was available. I didn't understand her at the time. How could it be unknown when she herself was going to feed me dinner only a few hours later? Ukrainians still instinctively avoid wasting food, never play with bread, and tend to stock up on supplies. This is the trauma of the Holodomor, passed from generation to generation. We are the descendants of those who survived the Holodomor, the artificial famine deliberately created by Stalin to destroy Ukrainians, break their will to resist, and make them obedient to the Soviet system. According to different sources, the losses from the Holodomor range from 5 to 10 million people. Why such a wide range? Because the Holodomor was concealed, deaths from starvation were not recorded, and the cause of death was written down as something other than hunger. Archives and evidence were destroyed. Some researchers believe the real losses were much higher and include not only those who died but also those who were never born or were forced to leave. Although research continues, we are unlikely to even know the full scale of this genocide. Today our guest is Olya Soroka, head of the Holodomor Committee of the Ukrainian World Congress and chair of the Global Holodomor Descendants Network. Olya is joining us by phone from Chicago. The line isn't perfectly stable, so bear with us if the audio shifts slightly. Welcome, Olya.
Well, good day, Olya, and thank you very much for the invitation to speak on your news program and on the radio in New Zealand. And hello to all you New Zealanders out there. It is my honor to be on the program and speak on the topic of the Holodomor, which was a genocide committed by the Soviet totalitarian regime in Ukraine in 1932-33. As you mentioned, I was recently asked to be the chair of the International Coordinating Committee for the Holodomor as part of the Ukrainian World Congress, which is the umbrella organization of all Ukrainians worldwide. And it is my honor to serve in that role, in addition to my role as chair of the Holodomor Descendants Network, which I launched 6 years ago and currently continue to chair. As part of that role, there are a lot of things that we work on in order to make sure that the world understands what actually happened during Holodomor 1932-33, why it was relevant then, and why it is relevant in today's day and age, because the current genocidal war is following very much a similar playbook than it was in 1932-33. And both, in addition to several other genocides inflicted on Ukraine by Russia in its various formats, Imperial Russia, the Soviet Union, or the Russian Federation, were just that. They were genocide and attempts to eliminate Ukraine as a nation and to steal our culture, history, religion for Russia. So it is very important that the world understand the background on the Holodomor, why it is important to remember, and that is the work that we do at the Ukrainian World Congress on the International Coordinating Committee and on the Holodomor Descendants Network. Specifically, the Descendants Network was founded to be the perpetual voice of the facts about the Holodomor. Russia, in all its forms, has been downplaying and denying the existence of a man-made famine in Ukraine 1932-33 that murdered millions of innocent men, women, and children. There are very few eyewitnesses left still alive who survived the horrors of that terrible murder by starvation. And we figured who better than the descendants would be there to ensure that the stories of the family's experience are never forgotten, to ensure that we honor the victims of that tragedy in Ukraine's history, and to make sure that we dispel information that is being propagated by Russia and its apologists, denying that the Holodomor ever existed, as well as to inform and educate descendants on the transgenerational effects of the Holodomor, which are only now being researched and clearly understood. As part of the International Coordinating Committee, we take that work, as well as preparation for coordinating a unified commemoration strategy so that all of our Ukrainian communities around the world, and there are approximately 20 million Ukrainians outside of Ukraine whose families escaped the Soviet Union, and now generations have been born in countries all over the world, in addition to the millions that have left Ukraine during the recent war. So our role is to coordinate actions that they may take in their communities to be one voice, one united voice on behalf of the millions of innocent victims of the Holodomor and today's tragedy, the genocidal war inflicted by Russia.
Thank you, Olya. Tell us, what inspired you personally to get involved in preserving the memory of Holodomor? Do you have a family connection to this tragedy?
Well, just to give you a little bit of background, I was raised in a very patriotic Christian Ukrainian family, and I learned Ukrainian history from the Ukrainian school that I attended, from the Ukrainian American Youth Association, SUM, of which I am a lifelong member, and from my parents, who escaped during World War II and who participated in Ukraine's fight for independence. I grew up immensely proud of my Ukrainian heritage in a time when most people never even heard of Ukraine. I was proud to be part of a nation that has contributed so much to the world, dating back to the original Scyths and Samaritans who settled Ukraine lands prior to the birth of Christ, the glory of Kievan Rus, once considered a European trading and cultural hub, proud of the rulers of Rus, whose bloodline runs in all of the royal families of Europe, the Cossacks, whose military skill was admired throughout Europe and Asia, proud of the country that created the first constitution in 1720, the Ukrainian Sichevistrichi, the Ukrainian insurgent army UPA, who resisted the Soviet Union's and the Russian invasion and resisted their occupation and subjugation. Proud of Shevchenko, Lysia Ukrainka, Lysenko, and the Hopak, itself a dance about resilience, strength, and independence, and now the armed forces of Ukraine, who are fighting evil with dignity, resilience, courage, and morality. As if that was not enough, the Holodomor is a very personal topic for me. My mother's family suffered during the Holodomor, and with God's help, the immediate family survived. My mother, her sister, my aunt, my uncle, her brother, and my maternal grandparents owned a small farm in a small village in the Zhytomyr Oblast of Ukraine. They had farm implements, and at that time, the Soviet Union had decided to collectivize all the farmers' land and equipment. Many of the farmers resisted, and they resisted the Russification that was being imposed by the Soviet Union. And they resisted this because farmers were really, at that time, in addition to the intelligentsia of Ukraine, they were the keepers of the culture, keepers of the traditional Ukrainian language that Russia tried to eliminate, the keepers of our traditions, of our religious traditions. So the Soviet Union knew that they had to deal with them in a harsh way in order to get them to subjugate. Well, as seen by our history, Ukrainians don't subjugate being invaded and being ruled by another nation. They refuse to be subjugated and Russified by any form of Russia. What happened to my grandfather, who refused to join the collectivization effort, was that he was beaten in front of his family, arrested, and sent off to Siberia. My grandmother, with her three small children in the middle of winter, was thrown out of their small house with no food and were told that they cannot return. The villagers were all informed that if anybody helped my grandmother, they would suffer the exact same fate. So my grandmother took the children, ran to the neighbor village where her brother lived, and was hidden there for a couple of days until they had to leave because they were worried about the Russians coming and doing the same thing to her brother's family. So she left in the middle of winter to try and make her way to to one of the major cities where maybe she could find some food begging in the streets. Along the way, the stories that I heard, which I couldn't believe, were they were digging out rotten potatoes out of the frozen ground and eating that. They were making soup out of tree bark and acorns and sustaining themselves on that. They were eating rotten berries, anything that they could find along the way just to sustain them until they could find more food. They ultimately made it to Kyiv, where my grandmother begged on the streets but could not support my mother, my aunt, and my uncle. She gave them up to an orphanage, telling them that she found them on the street and was unable to care for them. Yet she would come every day when the children were out playing to watch to make sure that they were okay. One day my aunt saw her and she ran out of playground, and my mother and uncle followed. They were reunited, and ultimately she found some comfort in a job cleaning a school where they allowed her to sleep in the basement and provided them with bare sustenance for existence. This story of my mother's family is not uncommon. When we talk to survivors and we talk to descendants, many of us, our families have the exact same stories. Many have stories where they have family members that died during the Holodomor because they just could not make it. The heart-wrenching stories that we hear from these families is something that nobody should ever, ever have to go through, especially in Ukraine, which was the breadbasket of Europe. And at a time in 1932-33, where there was abundant harvest. And you say, well, what happened to all the grain? Well, the KGB, the Soviet police, would come to the villages, and after they would throw everybody out of their homes who didn't comply with their collectivization efforts, they would steal all of that food. They would take all the grain, all the bread, any food that was left, all the animals, and ship them out to Russia. And from there, they would sell the grain on the international market or use it for themselves. Now, at this time, while there were Ukrainians dying, the Russian proletariat, Stalin and his henchmen, were celebrating in Russia, in Moscow, with huge banquets, gorging themselves on all kinds of food, and yet millions of Ukrainians were dying in the streets. This is a very common story that we hear.
Olya, why is it important to understand that the Holodomor was not just a famine, but a man-made genocide? And how was this possible? How could millions die of hunger in one of the world's most fertile countries, as you said? And nobody knows about that.
Well, first of all, the Soviet Union was totally responsible for the man-made famine. And they imposed this famine because they were unable to control a nationalist movement in Ukraine. Despite arresting and deporting or killing its intelligentsia in the 1920s and early 30s, the Ukrainian farmers, who, as I mentioned before, were the heart of preservation of Ukrainian culture, history, and language, continued to resist. They resisted the Soviet Union's collectivization plans and Russification. To break the farmers, they implemented a deliberate plan to starve them into submission, but they underestimated Ukrainian determination for self-rule and independence. And at that time, the Soviets had such a tight control of who came in and out of the territories being starved that news of the Holodomor was difficult to get out. But Russian news media and Stalin himself denied any famine. To add credibility, they enlisted Pulitzer Prize-winning author, New York Times author, Walter Duranty, who unequivocally denied the existence of the Holodomor. Yet, during this time, Duranty was living in Moscow and attending lavish parties and gorging on food with Stalin and his elite politicians. The world heard about the Holodomor, but because of the deniers and apologists for Russia, they ignored the claims of famine, or they knew and decided not to get involved. Not sure which it was. However, James Mace, a British journalist made famous by the movie Mr. Jones recently, snuck into Ukraine to see for himself. And he wrote about the horrors that he saw. He confirmed a devastating famine was occurring during the period of abundant harvest in Ukraine. Unfortunately, the world listened to Stalin and Duranty. And that is how a totalitarian regime and a controlled media prevented the world from really understanding and the average person learning about the Holodomor.
How has the Holodomor been remembered and recognized in Ukraine and around the world?
Ukraine, post-independence of 1991, has instituted a national day of commemoration for the Holodomor. This is the fourth Saturday of November at 4 p.m. every year. This is a global commemoration in Ukrainian communities around the world, and we do it in unity with Ukraine. They built a monument to the Holodomor remembrance in Kyiv and in cities around the world. There are multiple monuments around the world. The government in Ukraine has built a museum of the Holodomor in Kyiv. It has been a little bit on hold due to the war, ongoing war in Ukraine, but there are plans to complete it and to build out the exhibits so that there is total recognition of the Holodomor in Ukraine. We have started efforts, and they've been successful in 28 countries, to get countries to recognize the Holodomor as a genocide against the Ukrainian people. These global efforts have been successful to date, like I said, in 28 countries. And we've also launched efforts to include Holodomor in educational studies in schools, just like they do with the Holocaust. Throughout many communities in Canada and the United States, for example, there are numerous training materials and educational materials for teachers to use about studying about the Holodomor in various states and provinces. We hold Holodomor conferences in various parts of the world to teach non-Ukrainians about the Holodomor and the significance it had on the Ukrainian nation. There's a lot of research that has been ongoing into the facts about the Holodomor. Ever since the breakup of the Soviet Union, the government has been able to uncover archives from the communist regime and totalitarian regime of the Soviet Union, showing documents confirming Soviet orders to implement this famine. Undeniable evidence that orders came from Moscow to implement a famine to starve Ukrainians. There's been independent research into the transgenerational effects of the Holodomor. Many of us, as I'm a descendant, you know, we may have some certain quirks or medical issues that we're not sure where they came from. Now, through this independent research on transgenerational effects, we're understanding that these effects of the Holodomor did not just occur in those who survived Holodomor. They're being seen in a third generation of those survivors. If I'm the first generation of a survivor, down to my grandchildren, we're beginning to see those effects still occurring. We are capturing and have been capturing over the last decades eyewitness accounts of what the witnesses went through during the Holodomor. And most recently, through the Descendants Network, we have started a project called We Remember, where we interview descendants of Holodomor survivors to capture their stories of what their families went through during the Holodomor so that those are not lost and that we have all of that information maintained and captured and saved for posterity.
You will hear the rest of my conversation with Ola in the next episode. I will also share more facts about the Holodomor to help you understand this history in full.
Commemorating the Holodomor matters not only to Ukrainians, it matters to the entire democratic world. The genocide of millions cannot be something the world overlooks, excuses, or fails to recognize, not then, not now, not ever. The Holodomor happened because the truth was hidden, because lies were louder than human suffering, and because the world did not see what was being done to Ukraine. We cannot allow anything like this to happen again, in any country. Today, Russia is committing genocide against Ukraine once more, striking peaceful cities every night, destroying homes, schools, hospitals, kindergartens, and entire neighborhoods. Do not look away. Do not stay silent. Ukraine needs the world to help stop this war and protect human life. On the fourth Saturday of November, this year on 22nd November, please light a candle in your window and honor the Ukrainians who died during the Holodomor, the man-made famine that took millions of lives. A reminder that Ukrainians in Dunedin gather every Saturday at noon in the Octagon. Come and show your support. Take care of yourselves. And until next time. Thank you for tuning in to Borscht Club on ORFM. Stay connected with us and listen to our episodes on Spotify, Apple Podcasts and oar.org.nz. This is your host Оля Вязенко, wishing you joy and a delicious day ahead. До зустрічі! See you next time!
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On Air.